got a gal that wears a skirt so high. I've got a gal that wears a skirt so high. Men can't look away, no matter how hard they try. She looks good from the front, 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 but better from behind. Well, I've got a gal that wears a blouse real low. I've got a gal that wears a blouse so low. She likes to dance around and grind her hips so slow. She looks good from the front, 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 better from behind.
Slide guitarist Dennis Johnson is creating quite the stir with his second album, Slide Avenue, the follow-up to Slide Show. Slide Avenue moves effortlessly between genres, from blues to New Orleans jazz to rock to swing, as it takes you on a ride that stays with you long after the album has finished. Featuring three Robert Johnson reinterpretations alongside a slew of Dennis Johnson originals, it's an album with so many standout tracks, it's hard to pick one. Though She Looks Good, featuring some outstanding fiddle from Joe Craven, deserves a special mention. California-based Johnson has a mission to take the slide guitar to points unknown. We've no doubt he'll get there. Slide Avenue definitely delivers. We reached Dennis Johnson at home in California. So it's great to talk to you today, Dennis.
It's great to talk to you, Jim.
Well, I gotta say, when Slide Avenue arrived in my inbox, I was completely blown away. I absolutely love this album, and I have to be quite honest, I didn't know who you were. I knew from the information that I was sent that this is slide guitarist Dennis Johnson. You come from California. And until I started playing the music and said, wow, this is amazing, I didn't know anything else. So I'm going to start this interview. I'll give you a chance to talk about how you got into music, and let's go from there.
Absolutely, yeah, that sounds great. It all starts out, I was a kid, and I remember as a little kid, my dad would tell me these stories, how he would go see Chuck Berry, and he'd have this passion for it. I was a little kid, I didn't understand what live music years later, as I went to see live bands, I understood it, and it really got me. You know, I really thought it was this great energy, and started playing guitar as a teenager. Was really attracted to slide guitar. Can't tell you why. I just was, you know, and just loved it, and you know, just got into it very, very deeply in terms of probably practicing like jazz musicians on the instrument, you know, that many hours, and just loved it. No one ever had to ask me to practice, so I just loved it. Yeah.
So you grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. I'm always curious, you know, so did you just, you asked your father for a guitar after you'd seen people like Chuck play it? Is that how things worked out?
Well, you know, my dad was a big influence, you know, with the music, because he would listen to a lot of R&B stuff and blues musicians and so forth. And then as a teenager, growing up in the Bay Area, I was lucky enough to, there were a lot of slide guitar players around there. There was Roy Rogers, there was Ron Thompson, there's a lot of cats playing around there, and a lot of times people will say, well, San Francisco, how do you get into slide guitar? But there was a lot of it going on at that time, and you know, I think what changed for me was you know, probably hearing Roy Rogers the first time. He used to play with John Lee Hooker on the radio, and going to see his band, and it was a huge influence, you know, and Norton Buffalo, that's what really, and Robert Johnson, of course, I'm different on Robert Johnson, yeah.
I always like to describe myself as a failed musician. Was it, you know, challenging, you know, picking up the slide guitar and working at it? I imagine when I watch you play on some of the videos that we can find at your website, which I'm going to give a plug just now, and then we'll talk about it later, but it is DennisJohnsonSlide.com. I imagine you probably have to practice a great deal when you're, you know, getting used not just to the fingering, but also getting used to the slide as well. Can you talk about what you had to go through to get to the level you are at today?
A lot. A lot of hours, you know. Geez, 8 to 10 hour days, and years of that probably cumulatively. You know? But really, I think the biggest thing was learning how to listen. I think that I hang out with a lot of, I talk to a lot of jazz musicians, you know, and we have a great drummer plays in the band, a great jazz drummer. And really, you know, I think to the point where I could really sit and play something and then really listen to it almost from a third-party perspective and say, well, you know, does this sound right, you know? And is this what you want to happen here? And if it's not, how can you change it, you know? And I think it was, and that's a lot of patience, you know, you have to develop, and music will teach you patience, and music will teach you a lot, you know, and so it was a lot of work, and a lot of listening, you know, getting back to the Robert Johnson records and listening to that, and just really developing that skill. You know, I tell people a lot when we play, you know, people say, well, you know, what do you think about before a show? And I was like, well, you know, we just go there to listen, just like the audience. You know, we're all there together listening. I just happen to be playing, the other musicians happen to be playing, but we're all sharing that energy together, and it's a great experience. So I would say really the thing that really helped me the most was learning how to listen, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your music. Slide Avenue, I think, is your second album. The first one was Slideshow. Now, when that album came out, that album did pretty well. It certainly received a lot of acclaim. Are they the only two albums that you've done, or you have other albums when you were playing with other people?
Those are the two records that I've done. We've got some other stuff in the works, but yeah, those are the two ones. You know, the first record was more really heavily the trio, guitar-based kind of a thing, which I love. This record, we wanted to go a little further, and we wanted to, you know, I was listening to a lot of Duke Ellington, a lot of musicians from that era when I was making this record, and I really wanted to have a lot of that conversation going back and forth between, you know, guitar and horns, or guitar and fiddle, or guitar and piano. You know, I really like that, and I think that's that great communication. So I really wanted to bring that to this record.
Which is interesting you say that, because one of the things I love about this album is that it really swings. I mean, you know, I actually, in preparation for the interview, obviously it's always good to have you know, have people's music really fresh in your mind. So I was sitting here getting ready to give you a call, and I thought, well, I'll put it on again. But one of the things I love about this album is the way it moves, the way it swings, And the way that you seem to move between the genres. I mean, we've got blues in there, we've got some, you know, some New Orleans, we've got some rock, and then the swing. And it really moves along. Is that something that, does that come from your live shows? Is that where that comes from? Or is it just something that you, you know, perhaps just developed when you were, you know, playing with guitar when you were practicing?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, the live show is very similar to the approach. One of the things on this record we wanted to do was to make sure that it didn't, it was recorded live, the record, so we did the tracks, because we wanted to have that feel of a live show, you know. I think that's important, and not have it be sterile, you know. And so we did the basic track, you know, live, and most of the record live. I think Terraplane is pretty much the live take. And so we wanted to have that feel. And in the live shows, you got to, you know, you got to be able, I think, jump from genre to genre, because I think that's what keeps the audience. And you're there for the audience. And, you know, the one thing with blues music is it can be done many different ways, and folk music, and it's great stuff. But I think you're right. You have to be able to say, okay, we're going down this road now, audience, and let's go down here, and let's go have some fun. So, yeah. The audience, the live show is a very similar approach. Yeah.
Now, just before the interview, we played She Looks Good off the Slide Avenue album, which I absolutely love because it has this incredible fiddle on it. The fiddle just is awesome. And I think that that came from Joe Craven, right? He was the fiddler that played with you on that. But I love the way that it interplays with your guitar. Can you talk about how that song came about, because that is one of your own compositions?
Yeah, so that song was influenced a lot by, when I was a kid, I would go see Roy Rogers in Norton, Buffalo, and there was an approach they had, you know, with Norton, a great harmonica player, one of the best I've ever seen, if not the best, and great people, by the way, but they would do this duo show sometimes, and they would go back and forth, and it was, I always thought that was just a great experience, you know. And so we wanted to have that approach with this, and we thought Joe Craven would be the guy. And Joe's he's a great guy too, great musician, but just really, really nice guy. And we had a lot of fun in the studio, and he just has that sense of how to paint in space, you know, which is great.
Well, it's great because, I mean, that, you know, if there was one track on the album that you wanted to say, well, you know, you listen to this guy, he's a slide guitarist, but, you know, he clearly wants to go different places with this album. You put that one on, and that's kind of like, okay, this is sort of like the song that you can play, you know, if you want that quick impression of where you're at. You must be pretty thrilled with the way it turned out.
Oh, very much. I'm really, really pleased you liked that track, because we really liked it in the studio, and it was a lot of fun to do. And, you know, it was that approach again of just, I always, you know, it's conversation, you know, it's like you're at a coffee shop and you hear the people sitting at a table and they're having this really interesting conversation, and it's really interesting to you. I think music's that way, you know, where you use different dynamics, you take it low, you bring it up, you use different approaches. So that song was a lot of fun. And we do that song live, so we're going to be doing hopefully some shows with Joe in the fall where we usually play with the band as a trio, and then we'll bring in a special guest. So hopefully we've got some stuff coming up there in the fall.
Now, on Slide Avenue, there's 10 tracks, and I think there's 3 cover versions from Robert Johnson, I think, this time. And I think on your last album you had, I think, just there was one Robert Johnson, and then the Blind Willie McTell was in there as well. When you pick cover versions for your albums, how do you do that?
I think it's songs that are, you know, I think it's that have great rhythms, and that you come up with a rhythm that you think fits there, you know. Certainly songs that inspire you, I think, as a musician. But I mean, Robert Johnson, you know, geez, I mean, where do you begin with him? He, you know, one of the great musicians ever, you know, and I think one of the cleanest slide guitar players. But the thing with Robert was, and there's this great story where he would travel with Johnny Shines. Maybe he said Johnny Shines told a story, but they would, you know, they'd go play on the corner, right? And they'd go and they'd both set up, and Robert Johnson would turn to Johnny Shines and say, well, what are you doing? And he'd say, well, well, I'm just going to, we're going to play here together. He goes, no, 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 no. I'll play here. You go down two blocks and we'll make double the money, you know? And I think the point is that Robert developed a style that sounded like two guitars, you know, where you didn't need a second guitar. Where you're playing these rhythms, and especially in a live show, and then you're playing leads too, and you're making it sound like there's actually, you know, two guitars there. And that, I think, he did that as well as anybody. Yeah. So I think when I look at cover songs, I really look back at that stuff and say, well, where do I really hear a lot of that two-guitar approach or things like that? And that really inspires me.
Well, it's interesting because when I listen to you play Robert Johnson, and you know, Robert Johnson is great. I mean, I would, you know, I love blues, but I'm certainly not as knowledgeable in blues as I will be in, you know, in other genres, particularly in, you know, folk roots. But there's a difference the way that you play it. And I didn't know, is that deliberate or is it just because it's fresh and it's new and it's live off the floor? Can you, is there anything there that maybe I'm struggling to express?
No, you're not. I think I think you have to reinterpret it, you know, because people have already heard it the way Robert did it, you know. And so I think for me, how can you bring a fresh approach to it? And so, you know, you take a song sometimes, for instance, and you say, well, I could play this maybe in an arpeggiated pattern, or I could play this with different rhythms, and I'll experiment with those things, you know. And once I find something that to me I think is cool, you know, and it's kind of, I'll put that down. That's kind of how I write, you know. It's like, I don't write, I've learned this. Is that I'm going to do 10, 12 songs, and this is what they have to be, and kind of force it. I come up with, it's kind of like Joseph Campbell stuff, you know, plant a forest, not just one tree, and then have all these ideas, maybe 100, 200, and then get the best, whittle that down. And by the time you do your album, you have the absolute best of the best. So there's a whole process I do go through to kind of, by the time we get to the studio, I learned that, especially on this record. We'll make sure it's really good, yeah.
Yeah, I love that description. That's great. Another one of the tracks that I did want to mention, we're not going to be able to play it today because we're going to go in a different direction at the end of this interview, but we will probably in a future show, is Swinging at the Savoy, which is another song that I suppose it must be the basic trio complemented by sax. Is that the arrangement on this one?
Yes, you know, and I'm glad you mentioned that song, because that was a song that I had been listening to all these great, you know, Fletcher Henderson, Benny Goodman, and Duke, and, you know, listening to a lot of this horn stuff, and I really wanted to, you know, play the guitar like a horn. That's how I kind of do it, you know, and approach it that sensibility, and so I wanted to do this thing where you had the guitar conversating with a horn, and the kind of this homage to the great Savoy nightclub in Harlem that was around for years, where everyone would go and dance and have this great time. And so we worked in the studio with a great Nashville horn player, Sam Levine, and Sam and I really worked on getting the tone so you could hear the guitar distinctly from the saxophone, but also when they're doubling lines, they kind of melt together. So, you know, but that was a fun song. I love that song. It goes over really well live, and it's a lot of fun to play.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, a lot of the songs on this album will go over fabulously live. I want to talk about the live experience, because your band is the Mississippi Ramblers. Now, is that your trio, or are there other people that play in that band?
Yeah, that's the trio, Dan. And occasionally we'll bring in a guest musician, you know, to play in with the trio. We're doing a CD release party where we'll bring in more than one guest musician and do that. So it really, for a lot of the shows, we do the trio. It has a big sound to it, you know. And then, depending on the show, we may bring in a piano player or violin player or saxophone. Yeah.
So that's Tim Metz on drums and David O'Keefe on stand-up bass, is that right?
Yeah, and Tim helped produce the album. Great musician, great guy, and he really brings a lot to the table. Yeah.
Well, the album is fabulous. I got to ask, obviously, you know, we're talking a lot about your music, and I'm sure people listening to this at home will realize how pumped I am to be able to talk to you today. When do you think we'll get a chance to see you in Canada?
Well, we are right now planning a 2015 tour, and Canada's not too far away from California. So we hope to add some Canadian dates, and we will definitely keep you in mind.
Oh yeah, no, I think there are just so many places, and you know, I can only say that the album is fabulous. I'm certainly looking forward to see where you go next. But and anyone who loves blues, or let's be honest, I mean, you know, we mentioned earlier this album does go in lots of places. Great reinterpretations of some of the work of Robert Johnson. I can't recommend Slide Avenue highly enough. Couple of things we need to do before we wrap this today, Dennis. One, I want to give you a chance to tell people how they can learn more about your music.
Sure. You can go to DennisJohnsonSlide.com, and we have all kinds of music samples, video samples, and so forth. We also have a Twitter, and I think it's at DJohnsonSlide. And we've got all, you know, music information, other stuff, and little slide guitar tips, and things of that nature. And so those are kind of our big platforms.
And if people want to buy their music, they can find it on iTunes digitally, and I think it's on Amazon as well, and hopefully in your local independent record store.
Yes, and you could always visit the website too, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's great. Well, look, Dennis, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today. I certainly am very much looking forward to seeing where your career goes from here. What I would like you to do is introduce the next song, which will be from Slide Avenue. And I thought it would be kind of fun to play one of the Robert Johnson cover versions, if you're okay with that.
That sounds great.
Which one would you like us to play?
You could do Phonograph Blues would be great, yeah.
Okay, Phonograph Blues. That's wonderful. Dennis, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Good luck with the album, and we'll keep our fingers crossed to see you in Canada in 2015.
Thanks so much, Jan. Appreciate it. And
thanks very
for supporting all the music.
That's great. This is Dennis Johnson and Phonograph Blues from the wonderful new album, Slide Avenue. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio. I'm Jan Hall.
Beatrice has got a phonograph. And it don't play a lonesome word. Beatrice has got a phonograph. It don't play a lonesome word. What evil have I done? What evil has the poor girl heard? I love my phonograph, but you done broke my winding chain. Beatrice, I love my phonograph, but you done broke my winding chain. You take my love and giving it to your other man. You play it side the sofa, play it side the wall. My needle get rusted, and it don't play it all. We play it side the sofa. The wall. My needle done get rusty, and it will not play at all. Beatrice, I love my phonograph. You broke my winding chain. Beatrice, I love my phonograph. You broke my winding chain. You take my love and giving it to your other man.